This show is not intended for the politically correct or the close-minded. Enter at the risk of opening your eyes. You have been warned.
Why does the media attack an issue? To get primetime ratings?
In my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again for the truth to sink in.
The Army Air Forces has announced that a flying disc has been found and is now in the possession of the Army.
A moment comes when we step out from the old to the new, and when the soul of a nation, long suppressed, finds utterance.
Kind of catapult to propaganda.
You are listening to Open Eyes with your host, Ira Robinson. From the normal to the paranormal, from government cover-ups to the depths of our consciousness, we aim to explore all things. From the dawn of prehistory to current events, no topic is forbidden and nothing remains hidden.
No more secrets.
Open your eyes and open your mind to the fact that life as we know it is not as we have been taught. Join us at latenightinthemidlands.com or openeyesnetwork.com as we take this brief journey through the depths of the cosmos and explore what it really means to be human.
Many peoples have sacrificed their liberties only to learn to their sorrow that deceit and mockery, poverty and tyranny are their reward.
Whether you're online or offline, intercontinental or intergalactic, hello, and welcome to Open Eyes. So, guys, I have a really big show lined up for you tonight. This one is going to be really important to listen to. Originally, I was going to be covering things like cyber attacks and the internet, and I've sort of expanded the idea out to cover, well, pretty much propaganda in general, although I will be covering internet-centric type stuff in the first portion of the show after this news section, at least. So I really hope that you guys stay tuned for all of it, because there's going to be a lot of really good information that I'm going to give out, including exactly how propaganda is done, how they are using it against us on a constant basis, and maybe hopefully tell you guys ways that you can get around having it used against you and progress a little bit further ahead than what we normally have. We're hit with it on a constant basis, guys. Really, every single thing that goes on is all about propaganda. So before we get to that, though, I want to cover some news. Before beginning the world at large news, we have some personal news in relation to the Late Night in the Midlands network. One of the main guy, the right-hand man, basically, of Michael Vera, we found out that he did, in fact, pass away. And I want to extend out my heartfelt sympathies to the family and friends of Don. I did not know him as well as I would have liked to have known him. I met him shortly before he basically disappeared. It was not a very long period of time, not nearly long enough, in my opinion. I really would have loved to have known him as well as some of the others have. And I feel like I am that it's my loss that I didn't get to know him as well as others did. Michael Vera did a tribute show of sorts to Don on Tuesday night, and I really would love for you guys to go to Michael Vera's archives on latenightinthemidlands.com and listen to the show from Tuesday, and listen to the words that Michael had to say and the wonderful tribute that he did for Don. Don, you'll be missed by everyone. And even though I know that just by you being in our lives, your energy is a part of us, the physical part of you will be missed. So, guys, we're getting hit with a lot of stuff lately. We are constantly inundated with the craziest things. The first bit of news that I wanted to bring to you, the headline of it is self-propelled micromotor tested in living animals for the first time. For the first time, tiny artificial motors have voyaged through the body of a living animal, successfully delivering a cargo of nanoparticles directly into the stomach wall. Although it will still be many years before we see microscopic machines scurrying around our own bodies and carrying out various tasks, the brains behind the current study see this as a significant step towards that ultimate goal. Well, we've known for some time that the elite have been hitting us with nanoparticles continuously in the chemtrails that we see. It's all part of the whole geoengineering thing that's going on. And this, although I can see, yes, there being a lot of really good potential medical benefits to come from something like this, you got to know and understand that the people who control things, who pull the strings behind the scenes, are not interested in any kind of beneficial things for us, the great unwashed masses. That's not part of their agenda. If you take a look around at the world that you see today, you will come to an understanding of that real darn quick. This really does fall right into it as well. There's a lot of potential danger with something like this. Just wanted to make sure you guys paid attention to this type of news. Instead of trying to justify your single status to your crotchety aunt, there's now another option: downloading an invisible boyfriend or girlfriend, which launched today from private to public beta. Yes, this is for real. The apps, founded by St. Louis's Matthew Homan and Kyle Tabor, let users pay for believable social proof that they're in a relationship. They generate everything from photos and meet cutes to text messages and actual voicemails, all of them totally fake, but also completely realistic. It really helps people tell a better story about a relationship that they're in, Mr. Hoffman told BetaBeat. Well, guys, see, this falls right into the whole thing of sock puppets, of the way that people are manipulated on a constant basis, especially over the internet, but in the world at large. This falls right into it. I'm going to speak actually about some of this stuff in the later half of the show, because this does fall right in line with it. The people that put out the propaganda, they go out there and they'll create fake profiles. They'll create fake statuses. They'll have an entire history worth of social proof to show that the person that you're looking at on the screen is a real justifiable, bona fide person. And yet they're not. It's a complete fake, 100%. This right here is now apps that you can download on your phone or on your tablet that will let you do this yourself. So imagine what kind of things those behind the scenes are doing with this kind of stuff. You see, this falls right into it, guys. This is, it's crazy. I mean, it's obvious. So, according to TechSpot.com, the worst passwords of 2014 have now been revealed. And the revelations are that people simply do not care about their cybersecurity. basically every year for the past few years, these companies have put out the worst password lists for people, the worst passwords that people could use. And these are actual passwords that people do use. They gather this information from data sources as people are typing in things and that sort of thing. See, again, you think that your stuff is private, but no, it's not. It's all collected and it's all data-based. Anyways, so they put out this information about people using just terrible passwords. And I have to read some of them off here for you. They're just, wow. 123456, that's number one. If you're using any of these passwords, by the way, change them now because you're in jeopardy. I'm just telling you that right now. Anybody, including my 10-year-old daughter, could probably hack into your accounts within a minute, maybe two, okay? Password. Yes, somebody is actually, that's actually number two on the list. So many people are using this password that it's number two on the list. Password. 12345. Well, that, you know, is a little worse than 123456. QWERTY. Baseball. Apparently, that's now become very popular. Dragon. Football. Monkey. Let me in. ABC123, who they're getting fancy now. 111111. Shadow. Superman. Batman. And why this one is at number 20, I'm not sure, but Michael is apparently at number 20. So it's silly to me because, you know, I use passwords that are really huge. They're long strings of numbers and symbols and letters and all different kinds of stuff. And even that has actually been hacked a couple of times by various people. I just find it funny that people try to think that these kind of things are actually valid as workable passwords. Okay, so in the final bit of news that I have, this one is going to take a little bit of time, but the president put out his State of the Union address on Tuesday, and boy, oh boy, so much is in this thing that I just had to shake my head at and wonder how many people actually fell for the stuff that this person had to say. And I use that term loosely. So let me see if I can read off some quotes here for you from the speech, and I'll touch on my own personal thoughts with it. So first we have, lie, economy, heartbreaking story, lie. We need affordable, high-quality childcare more than ever. It's not a nice-to-have, it's a must-have. It's time we stop treating childcare as a side issue or a woman's issue and treat it like the national economic priority that it is for all of us. And that's why my plan will make quality childcare more available and more affordable for every middle-class and low-income family with young children in America. So he's, what, planning on nationalizing childcare? It wouldn't surprise me. I mean, you know, that's kind of what schools are all about right now, right? We see what Common Core is doing to the average school these days, and boy, can you imagine what the regular childcare is going to do as well? Yeah, I have concerns about that one. I'm wondering where he's going to go with that one. He's going to try to make community colleges free. I don't know if you've heard about that one yet or not, but he definitely went into it in this State of the Union address. It's going to be free, but it's going to be, of course, at the cost of the taxpayers, just like Obamacare is. Are we now going to have Obama College? Is that what this is going to be? I mean, the stuff is not free. College educations are not free, no matter how free they want to claim that they are. Somebody's going to be footing the bill for it, and it's going to be you and me, guys. In fact, estimates are already put forward that if he makes the community colleges free for students for the first 2 years or whatever it is that he's claiming he's wanting to do, that it's going to cost an estimated $300 billion over the next 10 years. $300 billion. Like we can actually afford another $300 billion worth of just throw this away, right? He's also saying that we need to help veterans out, especially in regards to education and getting better jobs. And I agree with that. I don't disagree with that at all, but maybe he can also talk about doing something for the millions of vets that are living on the streets in abject poverty at this point. I mean, that's a shameful testament to what people go through after they get out of the military. The fact that so many veterans are sitting homeless and hungry and destitute. That's a shame. It's not just a shame on the part of the government, but that's a shame on all of us. It really is. I mean, homelessness is not just a vet problem. I understand that, and I'm completely okay with understanding that, okay? But it is a problem. I mean, nothing has been done to solve the homeless problem nationwide, except maybe making feeding the homeless illegal and making homelessness in general illegal. I suppose that's considered to be help, right? He talked about trade deals, and I wanted to make sure that I mentioned that here, because on Friday, I'm going to actually be delving into some of the trade deal things, as well as the economy in general. Especially in regards to the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership. Both of these trade deals are nightmares. I mean, they're truly the stuff that the evil banksters and the power elite are just salivating over. So be sure to tune in on Friday for my talk about those things and other things in general regarding the economy. It's a scary proposition, guys. It really is. What they're trying to do with these two programs is just insanity. And of course, harms all of us in the public. He said, "I intend to protect a free and open internet, extend its reach to every classroom and every community, and help folks build the fastest networks so that the next generation of digital innovators and entrepreneurs have the platform to keep reshaping our world." Now, I'll be getting into this part of things in a bit in the next part of the show after the commercial break. I'll be talking some about the internet and what we've got coming down the pipeline about it all, but that was his direct quote from the speech regarding the internet. So let's see. Lie, foreign policy and lie. Bullcrap, lie. Oh, this is another part that I'll be getting into in a little bit. "No foreign nation, no hacker should be able to shut down our networks, steal our trade secrets, or invade the privacy of American families, especially our kids. I urge Congress to finally pass the legislation that we need to better meet the evolving threat of cyber attacks, combat identity theft, and protect our children's information." Now, notice how he worded things there. No foreign nation should be able to shut down our networks. That doesn't mean that it's not our own. Yeah. No lie there. I mean, listen to the words. And that just doesn't even go into the whole for the children thing that I know you guys have heard me talk about multiple times. For the children is one of the strongest propaganda phrases that they use, and they use it a lot. I'll be getting into the propaganda thing again in the latter part of the show here. Definitely be sure to stay tuned. I want our actions. Here's another one with the children. I want our actions to tell every child in every neighborhood that your life matters and that we are as committed to improving your life chances as we are for our own kids. Yeah, while putting you and your children even deeper into debt than you'd ever imagine. I mean, it's up to, like, what, $56,000 for our grandchildren at this point, right? Yeah, it's for the children. And finally, there's this little gem. Tonight, I'm launching a new precision medicine initiative to bring us closer to curing diseases like cancer and diabetes, and to give all of us access to the personalized information that we need to keep ourselves and our families healthier. You mean the things that have already been known to be curable for years now? And yet we're told that there's nothing that can be done for them? Yeah. Those. You gotta love it. Guys, this president, this guy, he is just full of one thing after the other, isn't he? So, I'm going to take a break here real quick. I'm going to drink some tea and calm myself down after going through this. I didn't even watch the speech. I just got a transcript of the speech. I don't watch speeches from politicians, and I'll go into the reasons why when I go into the propaganda stuff. But, you know, just reading the speeches itself, it was enough to make my blood boil. It really was. So, guys, be sure to stay tuned. We will be back after this break in just a few minutes.
The LNM Radio Network and Late Night in the Midlands depends on you, the listener. Without you, there would be no us. So help us continue to bring you the best guests with the best information and subscribe today. Information on becoming an LNM subscriber can be found at the top of LateNightInTheMidlands.com. Just click the About Subscriptions tab and become part of the family while helping the truth stay alive. And while you're at it, maybe subscriptions aren't for you. A one-time donation helps as well. Click that donate button on the right side of LateNightInTheMidlands.com and help us help you.
Open Eyes looks for the truth in all things, no matter where it may lead. Whether it is the paranormal, government cover-ups, the dark agenda that the puppet masters are bringing to this world, or aliens and UFOs, no subject is taboo or off-limits. Listen to Open Eyes Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays on the LNM Network at LateNightInTheMidlands.com or OpenEyesNetwork.com starting at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Open hearts, open minds, open eyes.
Don't worry, I cannot sing like you, but I didn't. I just wanted to show my appreciation.
Spend.
I've been spending money with spend.
We spent too much.
Spend a little more. Spending.
Spending so much.
Spending
a lot.
Spend that money.
Spend. Our tax dollars.
We spend. $1 trillion at war.
Spending.
That's money I can spend somewhere else.
Spending money.
Spend it quickly.
We spend millions of dollars to spend,
to spend,
to spend, spend,
spend, spending,
spend more,
spend,
spending.
I'd
spend
a lot.
I was willing to spend,
spending,
spend.
The money has been spent on
spending again,
spending,
spend
more and more,
spending,
spend.
I'm spending,
spend,
to spend.
I'd like to spend it.
Trying to win some money
to
spend,
spending.
We're gonna have to
spend money on,
spend unlimited money,
spend unlimited amounts of
spending money,
limitless
spending
and spending.
To spend,
spend.
We spend millions,
spend.
Lot of money.
Spend more.
I spend money
on
spending.
Spending.
Government spending's out of control.
So we had to spend that.
Spend a lot.
Millions of dollars.
Gonna spend more dollars than we're spending right now.
We got money to spend. Spending money.
Government spends more.
Our government was spending
your tax dollars.
Spending.
That's a lot of money.
Spending.
We need to spend.
Spend a lot.
Spends a huge amount of spending.
Spend out of control to spend without limit.
Spend
on my watch. Most of the money.
Spend a couple million dollars.
Spend that money.
I want to spend that money.
Oh, yes, indeed. He wants to spend that money more and more, doesn't he? You can tell that from the little State of the Union address that he had to give on Tuesday night. Spend. That's about all that this guy does, isn't it? So, hello again. Thank you for sticking around through that break. My name is Ira Robinson, and you are listening to Open Eyes. Tonight, I'm going to talk a little bit here about the internet, about the things that are going on with the internet, and some of the things that are coming down the pipeline regarding the internet, as well as getting into the issues of propaganda and how it's being used against us. And they really do tie together. The two things do tie together pretty tightly because the internet is so intimately tied to everything that is going on in this world. So before I begin, I want to make sure to send a shout out to my radio listeners out there, whether you're on Late Night in the Midlands Network or K98 Talk. Hello and thank you. To everyone else, hello and thank you as well. I've received a lot of great feedback over the past few weeks of my show being here on Late Night in the Midlands, and I really appreciate it in a big way. I love each and every one of you. Thank you so much for making me a part of your life and a part of your consciousness and your reality. I hope that I am here for a long time to come. So, guys, the internet. What can we say about it? It is one of the most fabulous things that we have available to us. It is the most important tool that has ever been created by the hands of man, if hands of man did have a part in the creation of it, for those of you who are more into the fringy side of things. Who knows? Nobody really knows for sure. But the internet is such a powerful tool because it is a free-for-all. It really is. It is essentially a free-for-all that everyone has access to in some way, at least if you have access to technology. Of course, there's probably some people around the world, and I'm sure there are quite a few that are around the world that have never even heard of it, that have no clue what it is or what's available with it. But for those of us who are in any kind of a technologically advanced portion of the world, you know how important the internet is and how critical it really is to our existence these days. Everything that we have, everything that we are, is tied directly to the internet, to the backbone of the internet. It is what has pushed, I think, the consciousness of mankind forward, but at the same time has also held the consciousness back for a lot of people. You see, we have this amazing technological tool available to us where all of the knowledge of mankind has been assembled into one place. And yet people don't take advantage of it. As I say, sometimes people use the internet basically to surf for cat videos and to watch porn. And that's sort of the reason for the internet for a lot of people out there. And while I don't discount the fact that those things are available and that, hey, if that's your thing, that's your thing, I think that it is also really important to understand that you have the chance to forward yourself in ways that people even 100 years ago could have never imagined. Let me put it to you this way. Do you realize that there are colleges out there like Yale, Harvard, MIT that have put every single one of their courses online available for anyone to go to and take these courses and learn any subject that they want to learn? And the kicker is they do it for free. That's right. They do it for free. I mean, for instance, at MIT, you could go and look into getting a complete education in electrical engineering and do the exact same course that they would do if you were sitting in the classroom for free through their website. Now, granted, you wouldn't get the actual degree out of it, but you would still have the education in it, you see. That's amazing. That is something that nobody in the history of mankind has had access to before. Do you see how powerful this tool really is? I mean, just imagine if the scribes and priests at the Library of Alexandria had access to the internet. What kind of things would we see today if that type of thing was available then and there? This world would be vastly different, you see. Would we have even gone through the Dark Ages? I mean, the Dark Ages was essentially came about because of the destruction of the Library of Alexandria, because of so much other destruction of the different texts and knowledge that mankind had accumulated to that point. I mean, we as human beings have gone through so much trauma over the eons, where our civilizations progress forward, get destroyed, go backwards, and we have to start all over again. And here, because of the internet, we can push ourselves actually so far forward that we're now moving into the stars and progressing forward off this little planet that we're on and into the realm of possibility that if something were to happen here on Earth, we're not just done, you see. That's pretty amazing to me. And whether or not you're into the idea of the fact that our civilization came here from the stars, or if we're being held back on purpose, or whatever it may be, I still find that concept, that idea, fascinating. I love the idea. I would love to see human beings become that a part of that greater whole that's out there, to become a part of the cosmos, to enter into this new realm of existence that is out there, to become just another voice in the chorus of the universe. That's something I would love to see. Unfortunately, a lot of people use their time unwisely. A lot of people use their ability to put their fingers to that keyboard or place their fingers on their phone or tablet or whatever. Most people go to play games and just surf Facebook and all that kind of stuff instead of actually using it to expand themselves, to enlighten themselves, to move forward and progress to a higher consciousness, whatever. Okay. Most people don't do that. They come home from work, they grab their beer, they watch their football game, they maybe surf the internet for a little while, maybe watch a little bit of porn, maybe cheer themselves up by watching some kitten videos, go to bed and start the day next day doing the whole thing over again. And we could be so much better than that. We could step forward a little bit every day instead of surfing Facebook for a half hour and arguing with people and debating with people about minutiae or getting into other people's business and thinking that you have some kind of involvement in their relationships or whatever, whatever. I've seen all different kinds of stuff, right? I'm sure you have too. But if people use that half hour's worth of time to go to a site like Late Night in the Midlands and explore some of the content that's available there, or to go to my site, openeyesnetwork.com, and explore some of the content there, go to MIT and get an education in something, spend that half hour learning a new skill that you could use later, or even just to save yourself a buck because now you know how to change a light bulb, you know, whatever. I'm just saying it's instead of wasting time, you could use time, you see, and actually make yourself one step better than you were. To me, I see that being the point of life. I see that being something that's really important for us as human beings. Otherwise, you have a situation like what we see today, where the vast majority of people don't care what's happening to them, and we're losing our rights. We're being destroyed every day by molecule by molecule. We're being eradicated en masse. And nobody pays any attention because they're too busy trying to see what Aunt Carol is doing with her new boyfriend and arguing over whether or not this person has the right to be married to their significant other, whether or not they're of the same sex or not. I mean, this is what we see now in the divisions that are put forward. And it bothers me. It really does, because we don't know how long we're actually going to have this tool available to us. Look at the stuff that they're trying to do with it right now. Look at the things that they're trying to accomplish behind the scenes with all of this. We have right now going on this whole net neutrality argument and whether or not net neutrality should be a thing and whether or not it's a valid thing to put forward. Now, net neutrality, I don't know if you know what that is or not, but I'll explain to you here. Net neutrality is the idea that as things stand right now, all internet traffic goes through different pipelines across the world. And these different pipelines carry packets of data on them. And the packets of data get to your computer. Like, let's say you go to a website, you command your browser to go to a website. Your computer sends out a packet of data saying, I want to go to this website. That website then responds with its data, and the packets are reconstructed once they reach your computer, and you then see the website on your browser. At this point in time, depending on the speed at which those packets come into your computer depends on which internet service provider you're using and what type of connection you have. But your speed is not regulated like on the fly or anything like that. It is whatever the pipeline has coming down as its speed is what your speed is going to be. There's no limiters that are placed there. However, with the situation that's going on right now, what they're trying to do is make it so that ISPs or internet service providers can demand from different companies and corporations and website owners that if they want their speeds to be faster, they can pay the ISP a fee to make their speed as fast as it can go. And other websites that don't pay the fees will be running at a slower pace. So if, for instance, you were to go to, let's say, yahoo.com, they're likely to be paying the fees to these companies because they want their service to be as fast as possible to make sure that people don't just click away from it because they're being frustrated with the wait. So the Yahoo will be running really super fast. It'll come right up as soon as you click the command to go in. However, somewhere like latenightinthemidlands.com, which can't afford to pay the fees, will be running much slower and maybe not even at all, depending on what happens with these different regulations that they're trying to do with it. Now, the great leader, our dear leader of Vomit himself, is trying to get his nose involved with all of this and say that that the government should basically regulate the ISPs as if they were a public utility like your gas or your electricity or water, so that everything basically falls under the regulations of Title II of the regulation statutes. The problem with this is that at this point in time, if you look at things, do you really want to have regulations put into place on your internet when you see how the regulations currently are with the public utilities? It's actually a very bad prospect if you think about it. There just should be a flat-out law made that says ISPs cannot limit speed based upon the fact of whether they pay a fee or not. All speeds should remain the same across the board. It'd be a simple law exactly like that. But what they're trying to do basically is to enact a whole ton of different regulations that will essentially make the ISPs work very hard at trying to comply with these regulations. Now, I think the reason why it's going on, and I don't hear anybody else speaking about this, so I don't know if I'm actually the only one that's thinking this or not, but the reason why I think that it's happening is because the major ISPs, the major internet service providers like Comcast, Time Warner, Verizon, that sort of thing, they will be able to easily compensate for any regulations that come along that they would have to comply with. So if any technology upgrades would be needed, or if any different fees would have to be paid to the government to comply with the regulations, whatever it may be, they would be able to afford to do it because they're big money makers. The problem would be the smaller ISPs. The smaller ISPs would not be able to afford to compete in this new play field that would come up. As it stands right now, the smaller ISPs do have a chance to at least draw some competition away from the larger ISPs, and they actually make a pretty good profit doing so. But with these regulations coming into place, I think that it would knock the smaller ISPs out, and it would cause even more of a monopoly than what we see right now on the part of these larger ISPs. Now, they try to claim that they don't have a monopoly. They say that there's no monopoly, but that actually is not true. how they get away with it basically is they say, well, we don't have any monopoly here. Let's say in New York, if I remember correctly, it's Time Warner that's in New York. It's either Time Warner or Comcast, whichever one. It's just as an example. In New York, for instance, let's say that it's Comcast that, or Time Warner that owns all of the ISP in New York. They're the main provider and there is no other competition. Well, Comcast and Time Warner have made backroom deals basically where they do these non-compete agreements with each other. And they say, okay, well, Time Warner, you can have New York, but we, Comcast, are then going to have all of Pennsylvania, Ohio, Indiana to compensate for the profit loss from losing New York or whatever it may be. I can't say for sure what it would be. But if you look at the way that the ISPs are distributed across America right now, you will see that there is very serious delineation in the way that the ISPs are set up. You'll see Time Warner has this section, Comcast has this section, Verizon has this section of America. And there may be a little bit of overlap in between, but it's not much. It's very, very sparse. And it's only usually within like the smaller outlying cities that this type of thing occurs. But guys, really seriously, there are truly a lot of people out there, to get into the more generalized internet stuff, that are quote unquote out to get us. Especially when it comes to the internet and our cybersecurity. I mean, first of all, there's the hackers. Hackers are generally those that you would think of as being kids on the internet playing around. You have the different groups like Anonymous and that sort of thing that are considered hackers or hacktivists. And while some of them may go for the big fish, like the governments and the corporations, there are a lot of those out there that go after us as individuals. They'll create different virus programs and that sort of thing that will get into your data. It will essentially try to do identity theft and that sort of thing. There really are a lot of them out there that do this sort of thing. You have to be really careful about the websites that you go to and the things that you do on the internet, because there are a lot of them out there that do this kind of stuff. And they do it just for kicks, just to have fun for the most part. There are the trolls, you know, actual legit trolls that are out there that a lot of them are hired by corporations, by governments. They are directed to go against certain individuals or groups. If you don't believe me, you can just look up the Troll Handbook. Edward Snowden, he released the information on it. Literally, Troll Handbook. It is a Troll 101. It teaches you everything that you need to know about how to troll people and how to be a troll. It's crazy. Then there are those that work for different organizations that try to collect our data. A great example, I see this all the time. If you spend any time on Facebook, you'll see that they're constantly putting out these different surveys and all this kind of stuff. And they look very innocuous. You know, can we guess your age? What past life did you have? All this kind of stuff. Well, what ends up happening with them, whether you really realize it or not, is they are collecting data on you. And they sell this data to corporations and governments. It's a very large business. I mean, if you actually knew how big of a business this kind of stuff was, you'd be probably floored. Because, I mean, I used to do this kind of stuff for a living. I used to set up these different websites and stuff that looked at people's data, that tried to collect people's data. I know how these things are set up and how they go. This is what they do. They do it intentionally. They try to put it out as innocuously as possible, but the end goal is to collect as much data as they can. For instance, if you do one of those surveys and you hit the little button, share it on Facebook. They put that there all the time. Share it on Facebook. You click on the OK button when you do this, and suddenly now they have your email address, they have your friends list, and they have your personal information that you've shared on Facebook. They've now annotated that and collated it into a database that is then sold to the highest bidder. That's exactly what they do. That's how they collect all of your data. That's how you'll go, for example, onto Facebook. You'll take one of these little quizzes or these little surveys, and 2 weeks later, showing up at your door is a letter from an insurance company, for instance, saying, oh, well, we think that you need insurance. Because these different things are actually based on psychological testing and all of the, I mean, it's huge, guys. It really is. Pay attention to it. Another big one that is coming around right now actually is, okay, so you know how pretty much everything technology wise right now that you can get as a consumer is done through USB, okay? The little connections that you can make to your computer directly. You can even get, I've got one sitting right here right now actually, an electronic cigarette that you can plug into the USB slot of your computer, and it powers the electronic cigarette so that you don't have to use a battery operated electronic cigarette. You can just use the one that's going right there on your computer. I use it all the time. Well, what's ended up happening is that in those USB devices, they are actually putting hardwired programs into them to do certain things. There's an example, just a couple of months ago, there was a company that is very cybersecurity minded. I don't remember the company's name exactly at this point, and I'm sorry for that. But there was a company that's very security minded in their dealings with their employees and with their customers. And they have had no problems, no issues really with people being able to hack into their systems and that sort of thing. They thought they were pretty secure. Well, one day they found out that there was a breach in their security, and that a lot of data had ended up being transferred from their servers to a set of servers that were located in China. And they were trying desperately to try to figure out, how did this happen? How did our security get breached? And what they ended up finding out was that it was a $5 electronic cigarette that connected up to through USB to a computer. And one of the executives used this on his computer. And the electronic cigarette device, the USB device, had hardwired onto it a virus that then got into this executive's computer and hacked into it and then transferred data from the servers to China, where this information was then used and sold. I mean, this is pretty crazy to think about, but this is exactly what is going on. There actually are companies right now that are making what they call USB condoms that will go over the end of the USB plug that you plug into the computer, and it will sanitize any sort of malware that happens to be hard-coded onto the USB device from actually entering into the computer. You see, this is it's crazy stuff, right? But this is exactly what's going on. So you have to be really cautious about everything that you do in regards to your dealings with the internet and your dealings with your cybersecurity. You don't realize that every step of the way you may be exposing yourself to being, stolen, your identity stolen, to have any kind of personal information bought and sold. You know, that you might just do one of those little surveys And 2 weeks later, you start getting phone calls from telemarketers because they have purchased your phone number from a company that got your data from you accepting the terms and services or terms and conditions from one of these Facebook surveys. You just never know. It happens. It happens all the time. So one thing that was coming up towards the beginning of the year, just a few weeks ago, was the changes in the privacy policy on regards or in relation to Facebook. And a lot of people were starting to kind of freak out about it because who knows exactly what is in these big terms and conditions, right? Some of the stuff that's in there is actually very concerning and very, yeah, the terms and conditions on Facebook are already very draconian, very much in your business and in your personal life. Well, what people were thinking was that Facebook was basically trying to invade people's personal lives even further than they already were because of changes in their privacy policies. And yes, it is actually true that this is going on. However, what people don't realize is that it's actually not with Facebook itself that this is going on. I have a quick news clip that I wanted to play for you guys. It is, well, it's from Fox News, unfortunately, but they did a pretty decent job of covering this portion of things. They had somebody on that I agree with in regards to this stuff. I wanted to go ahead and play this for you guys so you guys could get a real good understanding of what's happening as far as Facebook is concerned. So take a listen to this. It's just a couple of minutes long for you.
Did you hear about this? Is Facebook playing another big brother? Some users are saying the social media site is really crossing the line with their new Messenger app.
Right. So joining us now is tech expert Anthony Mangaluzzo. Anthony, thanks for joining us. So many people are talking about this Messenger app. It used to be optional, but now it's going to be mandatory, I guess, if you download, you have to download it. So how does it all work and why are people all worried about this?
So basically, this new app is getting terrible reviews. It has a 1 out of 5 stars on the iPhone App Store and similar ratings with Android. What the Messenger app basically does is you have to give away all of your privacy. You allow Facebook to look at your call list, your contacts, your text messages. It can even use your recording device and your camera device on your phone without even telling you.
Okay, that's the thing that scared me the most. Take me through that. I'm holding my phone right now.
Yep.
And if I have this Messenger app, they can see what I see, or even worse, spy on me with what I'm doing?
Hey, most of your phones nowadays have 2 cameras, the front camera and the back camera. So legally, you are giving them access to those cameras when you install this application.
So some creepy guy in the San Francisco Bay Area at some place in Facebook can be looking live at what I'm looking at?
I was going to say, don't even worry about San Francisco. Facebook is global. Around the world, they could look at you.
And Anthony, the big concern is that people are going to download it because they want it on their phone so they can message friends on their phone. And they're not even going to really realize that they're giving up their privacy for this.
Most people just click yes when it comes in. And the thing that's crazy to me is you already have text messaging. You could send pictures. Why do we need a Facebook messaging app when there's so many other ways to communicate?
Well, we know what they're doing. These big social media sites, including Yahoo and Google, they want customer information because that's how they monetize things, by selling your personal information to advertisers to target you as a buyer.
Exactly. They're going to know who you call, what text messages you say, what products you're talking about. For instance, I text and say, hey, I want the new Nike Fitband. Well, then guess what? Facebook is going to start popping up some Nike Fitbands on my phone.
Anthony, is this just only on your phone, though? It's not on your computer. Is that right?
Well, the terms of service of Facebook are similar. So technically, if you have a recording device on your computer or any other devices that you're giving them access to, then absolutely. So the terms of service really govern our relationship with Facebook.
So it sounds like we don't want this Messenger app at all. Chris and I were just talking about it. Sue Serio said
Facebook at all.
She downloaded it and then she realized and then got rid of it. Is she okay if she's now that she took it off?
Good point.
Yeah, once you take it off, you're fine. And the interesting thing is this is going to drive people to other messaging applications such as WhatsApp app. And oh my goodness, guess who owns that?
Facebook just bought them.
Exactly.
Well, it was like for $2 billion or something ridiculous.
It was a little bit more than I have in my pocket. Yeah, it was up there.
So do you think this is going to drive people off of Facebook altogether?
It could. I mean, a lot of people are removing it once they're doing it. And at the end of the day, we are the consumers, so we need to vote. If we download and run the app, we're voting for Facebook. If we don't, Facebook is going to have to make changes or they're going to make less money.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think this just goes too far. Anthony Mangaluzzo, thanks so much for joining.
Yeah, I have to agree. They definitely have gone too far with it. And now notice they said specifically this is in regards to the Facebook app that's on the phones and that's on your tablets and that sort of thing. So it's not necessarily with Facebook on the computer. However, it does still apply because the terms and services that you sign on the tablets and that sort of thing also apply on the computer. So catch that. If you have a webcam or anything like that on your computer, they can access it at any time. They'll sit there and watch you while you're surfing on Facebook and doing whatever it is that you're going to do. Be careful, people. Be careful. If you're going to still use Facebook, just be absolutely sure of what you're doing with it. And make sure that you're not revealing anything that you don't want revealed. I mean, think about it. Think about it this way. The big news over the, 2 months ago was the different actresses and models and that sort of thing that were complaining that people had hacked into their phones and hacked into their different accounts all over the place and got their nude pictures and nude videos and that sort of thing and spread them around. And, you know, if you are going to do anything like that, guys, don't put it anywhere that can be accessed internet-wise. It's just as simple as that. Anything that you do, literally every single thing that you do is watched, monitored, collated, and stored at every moment in time when you're doing it over the internet. And hell, when you're doing it just in general. You can't even sit in front of your smart television anymore without it knowing exactly what you're saying, exactly what's going on in the household. If you got one of them smart toasters, it's watching you while you're watching the toast rise. Come on, guys. Seriously, this stuff is happening. It is real and it is in your face. Be careful. I try to advocate people to really pay close attention to what they've got going on. Because people just don't understand exactly how exposed we are now. Technology has gotten to that point. I mean, what was it? Just 2 days ago, they made this big announcement. This was on Yahoo News, right there on the front page, saying that police officers can now look inside of your home while they're sitting in their car outside. They can look into your home and know exactly what's going on in the inside of your house. And it doesn't violate any kind of laws whatsoever because they're not in your home doing the searches or anything like that. It doesn't violate anything at all. So that may be propaganda. I don't know. Speaking of propaganda, you guys like that transition? I'm going to take a quick break here. And when we come back from the break, we're going to talk a lot about propaganda and about how we're exposed to it on a constant basis, how we're being programmed with it on a constant basis. I really want people to pay attention to this. This is not going to be the first time that I talk about it. It's not going to be the last time that I talk about it. It's going to be something that I talk about a lot because this is really important stuff for people to know and understand. So guys, hang around with us. We'll be back in just a few minutes after this break.
The Late Night in the Midlands Radio Network is deeply devoted to you, the listener. We feel it is necessary to bring you all of the information that you can use in your life. Each and every day, you will find something to listen to here. And whether you come away from the shows informed, inspired, or entertained, it is our passion. We don't bow to corporations, and we don't have handlers to tell us what not to talk about. We bring you everything. Late Night in the Midlands, however, is fully listener-supported. We need your help to stay on the air and to make sure that we get the bills paid. We need your help to keep the truth alive. If you feel that you have gotten anything out of Late Night in the Midlands, we would appreciate your support. You can become a subscriber and help us out on a monthly basis, or if you'd like, a one-time donation is fully appreciated as well. Every year, the average household in America spends over $3,000 on entertainment alone. If you could help us with just a tiny fraction of that amount, you would make all of the difference. Go to latenightinthemidlands.com and click on the subscribe button. Thank you, and as always, keep yourself informed. You know, sometimes I think with that song, I like that song because it reminds me of what I see the power elite
thinking when they're down inside of their little dumbs, which a better acronym has never been said. Their little deep underground military bases. Oh, no one is here to care about me anymore. No one is here to care about what I have to say and what I have to do. And oh, what is going to happen now? We're lost. We're abandoned. We're alone. You know, I have to say I almost look forward to that day. Hello again, my name is Ira, and you are listening to Open Eyes. Thank you so much for sticking around through that break. I really appreciate it. We've been talking a lot about the internet and about the different things that are going on in regards to it. And I wanted to talk about the next little bit of a propaganda machine that the elites like to use, which is the media. And no, notice I didn't say just the lamestream media there. The media in general, even the alternative media, falls into this whole propaganda machine, this evil, devilish thing that the elite, the dark masters, like to use. It's this mechanism that we call the media that is their big propaganda machine, you know, the thing that they like to use, the weapon against us. It used to be that the media was very for the people, at least at one point in time. And now, well, now it's a big Hollywood production. You know, it's sad though, because even the alternative media has been co-opted by this propaganda machine. And it's not just propaganda on the part of government. When I say propaganda, let me give you a great definition of propaganda for you. Are you ready for it? Here goes. All forms of advertising are propaganda. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what it's for. If it's advertising, it's propaganda. And that includes even here on my show, any ads that you hear, it's propaganda. I mean, that's the most basic explanation for it, really. But there are actual, though, things propaganda-wise that are used for very nefarious purposes. And I hope that ours aren't for that. I don't think they are. But that's the most basic breakdown. All forms of advertising are propaganda. Now I'm going to teach you how to recognize propaganda when you see it or when you hear it. And that is, I think, really important information for people to have. This is the tool that you'll be able to use to understand what you're being programmed to do and how and why, really. So I think it's really essential information to have, because the more that you learn to recognize propaganda when it's coming into your face, the better off you are at trying to fend it off, basically. The better off you will be at avoiding the programming that whoever it is trying to put into you. So are you ready for this lesson? Well, here we go. The first type of propaganda is called name-calling. It's also known as stereotyping. They use this type of propaganda to discredit people or other products. They'll also use it to dismiss credibility without actually giving out any kind of proof or information or evidence about who they're stereotyping. some examples of this would be calling somebody a tree hugger or a flaming liberal or a conspiracy theorist or calling somebody crazy. I mean, these are just a couple of examples that they use. But that's name calling. That's stereotyping somebody. When you do that, the person who's hearing it automatically begins to discredit anything that is then said by the person that they've now been programmed to think against. The next type is called glitter grammar. They use this type to praise something out of hand. Like they use generalities with it. They do this without actually using or citing any kind of example of why this thing is such a good thing. So they'll say things like values and heart, home cooked, from scratch, wonderful, the best thing since sliced bread. Just to name a few, that's especially the from scratch and the old fashioned. You see that a lot on like boxes of food. Oh, this is old fashioned cookies, Toll House old fashioned cookies or whatever it is. You know, they're not old fashioned. It's a complete fabrication. You see, it's glitter. It's showing, oh, this product is so good because it's wonderful. Not actually why it's good, right? That's the difference between it. So the next type is testimonial, the testimonial type of propaganda. This one is actually one that you're very familiar with, I think, because this is the type of thing that I stand up against a lot. And this, because this is where the so-called experts fall in. They're in this category, this testimonial type of category. They use this type of thing by saying, oh, listen, 9 out of 10 dentists agree that fluoride is good for your health and it's good for your teeth without actually giving you any facts about why it's good for you. You see, it's just this expert on the screen saying, oh, you should do this because it's the right thing to do. I mean, most churches are really good at this type of thing. I don't know about you, but every church that I've ever gone to has at the end of the sermon testimonial time, and they'll tell people, come on up here and give your testimonial about how Jesus has saved your life and how Jesus has made your life so much more incredible than it ever could be. And this person gets up onto the stage and they give their testimonial about, oh, Jesus healed my bunion and saved my chickens from the fox and the hound. Not meaning to belittle here, but I was raised Southern Baptist. I know how the testimonial thing goes, okay? So, like I said, the testimonial type is a big one, because people they have this automatic bias when it comes to people having their personal experiences and all of that. But the fact is that what somebody else goes through with a thing has nothing to do with what you go through or what you would go through with that thing, you see. So the next type is called transfer, the transfer type of propaganda. This is almost exclusively used in regards to institutions, governments, corporations, whereas testimonial types are used to upbraid people or small groups. So transfer is basically the power of association. The most common way that this one is used is to talk about studies and surveys. So you might hear something like, a study released shows that drinking fluoride improves your teeth, makes your bones strong, and is shown to reverse the effects of aging in field mice with a limp. But no references to this study are ever given, and they're never showing any specifics in regards to this study. You see, this is a street cred kind of approach to propaganda. The next one is called Plain Folks. And I'm not joking. It's actually called Plain Folks Propaganda. This is the actual name for it. Plain Folks Propaganda is where they use like just everyday people to put forward their agenda or their idea. You see this like when the whole false flags type of thing occurs. Like you'll see the crisis actors. Those would be plain folks kind of propagandists. They're giving their testimonial by appearing in the photographs and that sort of thing. You get fooled into thinking that the right way to think is what the everyday people have to say. Yeah, it's just the right thing to do. They'll say things like, oh, it's just common sense. Why doesn't anybody in government see this? They don't understand. They don't understand things like you and I do. That's why you should elect me. You see, that's a plain folks kind of propaganda. Then there's the good old fashioned, notice my wording there, bandwagon approach. This type of propaganda is used to get people on board an idea or an agenda by saying things like, everyone is out doing it. Red is the new black. Oh, you know that everyone else is on this diet. Why aren't you? You see, the bandwagon, you got to get on the bandwagon with people and join in. And you're crazy if you don't, you see. Public opinion is huge business. Whether it's in regards to corporations or individuals or governments, public opinion is everything. They use these types of propaganda to push forward their agendas and their ideas while swaying or changing public opinions about the things so that people don't rise up. It's their idea of the frog in the boiling pot of water. They use these different types of propagandas to keep people from noticing the hot water, basically. One step at a time, essentially. They're all about changing the public opinions, and they're masters at the spin. I'm sure you've heard of that term before, spin doctors. This is what they're all about. And it really is huge business. I think, if I remember hearing correctly, at last estimates, there's something like 7,000 different public relation firms just in the United States alone. That's massive. That right there is a massive business. And companies and corporations and governments, individuals, they will spend huge amounts of money to get people's opinions swayed towards them in some way, whether it's by degrading the competition or by upraising themselves. It really is. It's massive business. So something that most people don't realize, and I would actually go so far as to say probably the vast majority of people don't realize, is that when you have a thought or you do an action, this thought or action has been filtered through a vast system of things inside of you. They're seen through the lenses of everything that you've gone through in your life and everything that you've ever been exposed to. For a little bit of information about all of that, you can listen to my show that I broadcast on Monday. You can go to openeyesnetwork.com/OE060 and listen to that episode. I talk a lot about emotional addictions and different things that people have on them, that they fall into these molds or templates, and they then live their lives with this mold or a template on them, and everything that they go through is to fulfill these emotional addictions and their needs. Well, this all falls right into this idea as well, that everything that you go through, everything that you do, everything that you think or say is filtered through all of these different things that you've gone through, and even just information that you've been exposed to over the years. Our memories are really amazing, because we can not even remember the event that has occurred, and yet it still has an impact on our lives. And it's that way with every kind of memory that we're exposed to. Every bit of information that you've ever been exposed to in your life is stored in your brain somewhere. And everything that you do is filtered through that. So the spin doctors, they will use tricks like flashy images and colors, sounds and lights to put you into a subtle hypnotic state when you look at advertising, when you watch TV, or even when you look at the internet. This hypnotic state is called a hypnagogic state. It's essentially the state between wakefulness and sleep. It is the state that you are the most easily subjected to any information that comes in. It's very much akin to the hypnotist on the stage. Sorry about that. The hypnotist on the stage that hypnotizes somebody into thinking that they're a chicken. Okay. It's the same idea there. But this, when you're watching TV or when you're looking at advertising or you're looking at the internet, you're also being subtly put into that hypnagogic state, into that very slight hypnotic state. And it doesn't take very much. Trust me, guys, it doesn't take very much to put you into that state. It's so easy. I mean, it is actually just as easy as driving down the road a few times and getting to know your trip home from work well enough that you don't remember how you got home. That is a hypnagogic state. You see, if anybody were to say anything to you during that time period, or if you're hearing advertising on the radio or anything along those lines while you're driving down that road, you pass by the billboard on the side of the road, all of those things, you're now in that hypnotic state and you're subject to all of that stuff. You're subjected to it, and you're now programmed with it. You see, it's I'm telling you guys, this stuff is real. You guys really need to listen and believe this. I hope that you're believing me with all of this, because this is how they get us. Okay. This is how they get you. All right. So let's say, for instance, you go to a web page. Now this is how it works. Okay. You go to a web page and you think that it has all just been set up to make things look nice, right? So you go to this web page. Oh, this is a nice looking website. I think I'll stay here for a few minutes. But did you know, for example, that it is very well known in the internet industry that if you set certain things in certain places on the page, the person looking at it will respond in predetermined ways, pre-programmed ways. It's true. I actually used to do it for a living. I know how it works, and I know what I'm talking about with this. It works, okay? There are so-called heat maps out there. You could find them all over the place on the internet if you really wanted to look for them and see it for yourself. These heat maps teach webmasters exactly how to place things and with exactly the right colors and words to match the response that you want the viewers to have. So, for instance, let's say that you are a politician and you're running on a campaign of reform and change. What would you do? How would you set your website up? Well, you'd have a white background on the website with red colors in like flowing blocks, like waves, wavy blocks, for instance. And these would be at eye level when the person visits your page. It's called being above the fold. So the person would not have to scroll down any to be able to see this. So it's above the fold, for instance. That's what it's termed. So the person sees this at their eye level as soon as they visit the website. The white background, the red flowing words with perhaps blocks of red, depending on how striking you want the words to be viewed by the person. The reason why the red color would be there is because red, the red color commands attention, and they're going to take whatever you have to say in the form of writing seriously. Blue colors make people calmer and they'll make them more likely to buy things, as well as oranges or golds. So blue keeps people in this calm state while they're visiting the website. The blue, oranges and golds will tend to make people want to buy things more. Why do you think Amazon has all of their writings in gold, and you know, you have the gold letterings for the Amazon and all of that? It induces a buying attitude in people. That's how it works. I mean, folks, even go into the grocery store has it in the music that they play. The music choices are really carefully selected to make people more likely to hang around longer, and therefore making you more likely to buy more things because you're in the store longer. And the music that they use as well tends to put people into this calm state, so that there's no fighting in the store, so that people are acting calmly. Oh, it's nice and relaxing as you walk through. Why do you think the Muzak in the elevators is there? You never really hear heavy metal in an elevator, right? It's all that gentle Girl from Ipanema kind of stuff that's being played in there. And the reason why is because people are in this small enclosed space and they're more likely to get in each other's faces in that kind of an environment. So they pump in the quiet, calming music so that it keeps people in this calm state of mind. You see what I mean? This stuff is real, guys. This stuff is all different forms of propaganda that are being used against you. It's playing you. Okay. And guys, this stuff actually is just the straightforward propaganda types. These are the things that are used against you that are just straightforward. These are very well known in the industry. Okay. They're right there for social engineers to study and learn. And just even doing a quick startpage.com search on this stuff will reveal all of this stuff to you. Okay. This is sociology 101. This isn't even getting into the more subtle things like neuro-linguistic programming, sound frequencies, visual frequencies that are designed to entrain your brain into thinking or following a certain thing or agenda. Speaking of neuro-linguistic programming, let me get into a little bit of NLP with you guys here. This one is really big because a lot, and I do mean a lot, of people use it against you. And you don't even know it. You don't even have a damn clue that it is happening to you. You'll need to listen to this part really, really well, because it is important, okay? NLP is a system that is designed to work with the way that human brains process information. Sometimes it's used to convey feelings of happiness and relaxation, and that's okay. Sometimes it's for darker purposes. As I alluded to earlier, your thoughts and your actions are done through a filter of the brain. And NLP essentially programs that filter to react in ways that the person using it against you wants you to do. It's done through a process of embedding commands within phrases or paragraphs of words. And it's sometimes, though not always, combined with gestures of the hands or movements of the body. Commands will be embedded in words or phrases and will be triggered by other words or phrases or hand gestures. And it really is easy to do. These commands, like happiness and relaxation, are done automatically by your subconscious, okay? Now, did you notice what I did there? I'm willing to bet that for a moment at least, you felt a feeling of happiness and relaxation kind of wash through you a little bit, even if it was just a little subtle amount of it. I used NLP on you, and it was really that easy to do. Here's what I did. I used the phrases happiness and relaxation as the command that I wanted you to follow through with. I anchored it to my use of the word okay with that particular inflection in it. Now, this is just a simple example, and it goes a lot deeper and it goes a lot more powerfully than what I did. But you get the idea. And if you didn't have that response in you, that's okay. Neurolinguistic programming doesn't work on everybody. And neurolinguistic programming usually requires someone to give the command phrases 3 or 4 times, and sometimes up to 7 or 8, depending on the person who is listening. But it does work in almost every instance. And it's even more potent when somebody is using hand gestures or when they're using walking movements and that sort of thing. It's very powerful. It really is. I was trained in NLP when I was working as a corporate boy. I was sent to a few different training programs, and this was done while I was in management in the corporation that I was at. They did this so that I could help the team in the right direction, you know, help lead them on the right course, and to use it against the employees as I spoke to them during the day to keep them happy and satisfied with their job, to keep them more productive and efficient while they were there. I didn't care much for it, and I still don't like to use it. And because I was trained in it, I've got a really easy time seeing when people are using it against other people, and I'm not as susceptible to it. I'm grateful for that part of it, at least. The fact that I was trained in it, regardless of whether or not I actually make use of it with what I do or in my daily journey through life, I still am grateful that I was trained in it so that I could learn to recognize when people are using it and maybe help people get pointed in the right direction. Hey, this person's using this against you. You might not want to listen. it's actually the main reason why I don't watch any speeches from politicians or anything along those lines, because they are very well trained in doing neuro-linguistic programming and they love to use it in their speeches. They love to use it in the things that they do. And I don't want to be subjected to it. So I don't watch their speeches. As I said earlier in the news section of things, I didn't even watch Obama's State of the Union speech. I just read the transcript. That's it. But you see, guys, these are just a couple of examples of how propaganda is used against us. I mean, it's every moment of every day, really. You think that you've got the free will over everything that you do, but you really don't. You really don't. It's free will, but it's limited and it's filtered through the programming that you've received since the moment that you've arrived here on this planet. So I'm going to get into some specific examples of propaganda for you guys. A recent example is one that I talked about on a previous show. I believe it was last Wednesday that the show was recorded. It was actually broadcast, if I remember correctly, on Thursday. But there was the Fox News broadcast that was having an expert on that claimed that Birmingham in the UK was a Muslim-filled no-go zone. This is a perfect example of the testimonial type of propaganda. You see, the report comes on, the report comes out, and the expert comes on, and he makes this broad claim, and everybody believes it and falls in line like good little minions because the guy is in a lab coat with letters behind his name, and he said it's true. It falls right into the case that Fox News actually argued and won, what was it, maybe 10 years ago, I think it was. It was won before an appeals court in their claim that they had legal and constitutional right to lie to their viewers. They won this. They won this case that they have the right to lie to their viewers. Fox News argued that it was their First Amendment right to report false information. In a 6-page written decision, the Court of Appeals decided the FCC's position against news distortion is only a policy, not a law, rule, or regulation. So you see, this is how they manipulate us. This is how they play us, and the government doesn't stand against it. It doesn't even care. It uses it itself. This is how we all get played when we're not looking at everything that's going on around us. You've got to pay damn good attention to everything that goes on. Because if you don't, boom, you get played. Simple as that, guys. Like I said earlier, they have the troll handbook. The troll handbook is all about swaying public opinion. It's all about making people look like they're crazy for talking conspiracy theories. Oh, we're crazy conspiracy theorists here, guys. You can't listen to us. We're wearing our tinfoil hats. Oh, when we're trying to talk about the truth of stuff, you see, they use this kind of stuff against us to discredit everyone and everything so that more and more people are manipulated into falling into the traps that they've laid out for us. They create sock puppets Earlier, I talked about the fact that there's actually now an app that's out that will create a sock puppet for you. A sock puppet is a false profile or a fake profile that is as realistic as you can make it, so that anybody that's viewing it can look at it and say, oh, well, that must be a real person. I'm seeing a real person there. So therefore, anything that's said and anything that goes on in this person's life, I have to believe. Right. Right. You go to pretty much any news outlet that's out there and you see all these different comments that are there from these different people. And I can guarantee you probably 90% of the comments that are on the different articles are sock puppets. They're not even real people. They're all like maybe one or two individuals that have created 10 to 20 different accounts each. And they're putting this stuff out, and they may be doing it for fun. They may be doing it just to get the jollies off on it. But there are a lot of them out there that are actually bought and paid for by corporations and governments to put out this information and put out disinformation so that the public opinion is swayed into the direction that they want them to follow. So all mainstream outlets and even most alternative outlets do all of these kind of things. They really do. We've got all of these false flags going on, from the Aurora shootings to the Paris attacks, and each one of them is driven by propaganda. We have the protests going on in America, and each of them is being driven by propaganda. There's deep, deep agendas with all of this, people. Deep agendas. I mean, do you really think that the media outlets are all individuals just sitting there behind their desks and they're reading something that they've written? Oh, I'm sitting here behind the desk. I'm in my nice suit and my nice tie, and I'm here and I'm going to read off this news article. And I went out and I found out all this information for you. Yes, you can believe me. This is incredible information. I broke this story myself. Now, bull crap. It's all a lie. Every bit of it. That guy sitting there on that desk is an anchor man. He is not a journalist. He is an actor. That's exactly what it comes down to. They may claim that they're journalists, but they're actors. They're not out there breaking the stories. They're not out there writing the stories. They're there reading the stories. And what does an actor do? They read their script for the screen. This is exactly what they do on the news broadcasts. It's all Hollywood, guys. It's all Hollywood smoke and freaking mirrors. Wake up and smell the napalm. This is how it goes, guys. So, okay. I'm going to give you an example of exactly how all of this stuff goes. This is a perfect example of how it's all scripted. Okay. There was a time, let's see, I believe it was towards the beginning of last year that the late night show Conan O'Brien did he was going to have the first nationally televised gay marriage on his show, and he was going to be officiating the marriage. And so because he made this announcement on his show, news outlets started to pick up on the story. And you might think, okay, well, some of them might have said something about it or whatever. But at a later time period, Conan O'Brien put together this set of news clips showing how each of these different media outlets said the exact same things about what he was doing. And this proves 100% how all of this stuff is completely scripted, completely faked, completely. Take a listen to this, guys.
Talk show host Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be able to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on his late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night TV.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope once again on late night TV.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien is looking to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night TV.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
O'Brien may be about to push the envelope on late night television.
Conan O'Brien may be preparing to push the late night envelope.
And laugh and laugh and laugh. The public just laughs about it, right? They're sitting there, oh, it's so funny, it's so funny. Ha, 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 ha. And yeah, sure, it's humorous, but do you not see the problem with it? Do you not see the issue with it? This is not the only time that he's put this kind of stuff out. You can go to YouTube and see that there are a lot of different examples of exactly this same type of experience going on. It's just insane. It's all scripted. It's all Hollywood. It's just smoke and mirrors. And you're getting played. I'm getting played. We're getting played, and it just really pisses me off. It really does. So another way or method that you're being programmed and you don't realize it is through what they call social norms. It's social norms and bias. It's a form of social change that they're trying to enact with the idea that attitudes follow behavior. Most people think that people's attitudes about things need to be changed in order to get them to change their behavior. But what social scientists have put forward is that when you change the behavior of someone, their attitude also changes. So you see them enacting regulations and laws to force people to change their behavior, and that way they're changing the attitudes of people over time. It's subtle, but it works, and they're using it against everybody. You can see it in the political correctness mindset that they use when it comes to things like radical Islam. Oh, you can't talk about that. You'll offend the Muslim community by talking about Muslims in that way. And because they're changing the behavior of people, the attitude towards things like radical Islam are softened, changed, and made into the norm. Social norms are also the biggest tool that the agenda pushers use. They love this tool, and it really is, I think, the favorite one for a lot of them. Here's an example of a social norm. Buskers, or street musicians and performers, seed money into their containers so that people who walk by see it and they think, oh, well, I'll give that guy some money because he's obviously good. My fellow human beings have said so. Well, the really good ones will have friends that once in a while, when crowds are around, walk up and put some money into the pot, you know, like so that others can see it happening and join in with it. That's a real powerful form of that social normity. So it goes into the whole bandwagon thing, you know, get involved. Everybody else is doing it, and so should you. But here's the kicker. You might think that most of the people doing these things are trying to make positive changes. And some people maybe, yes, but definitely not all. Because here's the truth about human beings. Whatever you see other people doing, you're likely to do it too. And if they push the negative agendas, you're going to act negatively. Because that's what's being reinforced in people. So you see, a lot of times they are pushing forward the negativity and the darkness into people so that they can be fooled into being negative themselves. So guys, I hope that you enjoyed tonight's episode. I really had a lot more to go into, but I've unfortunately run out of time. And I think that I'm going to touch on this topic again in the future because it really is something that is important for people to hear and understand. So guys, if you want to send me an email, you can send it to feedback@openeyesnetwork.com. If you want to visit my website, you can go to openeyesnetwork.com and you can go to the show notes for this show, which will be at openeyesnetwork.com/OE061. If you're wanting to find me on Facebook and Twitter, you can go to my Open Eyes Network on both of those platforms. On scene.is, I am at Ira Robinson. Boy, I hope that you enjoyed tonight's show. I hope that you guys learned something. On Friday, I'm going to talk about money. I'm going to talk about the things that we're being fooled with when it comes to the United States budget and some of the funny business that's going on with it. There is a hell of a lot that's being hidden from us and a lot that they're trying to push with it. Hope that you guys tune in to pay attention. That's going to be at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Friday. Be sure to stick around. Michael Vera will be bringing you The Last Frequency, actually, with Ryan Gable. And it definitely should be a good show. Guys, until next time, keep safe out there and have fun. And thank you so much for listening. Don't forget, Friday, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, late night in the Midlands.com.